Good morning to everybody, to our Muslim brothers and sisters, Ramadan Kareem, and also to Christians, Happy Easter. Your Excellency, First Vice President of the Republic, Your Excellency, Vice President of the Republic, Right Honorable Speaker of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, Right Honorable Deputy Speaker of the Council of States, Honorable Chief Justice, Honorable members of this August House, members of diplomatic corps, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to pass my warmest greetings to you all during this very important occasion. I hope you have had great recess and you have returned to your duty stations full of energy. Today, I am honored to grace the opening of the first session of this August House. This legislative session has come at a critical time in the history of our country. This parliament lies at the center of our young democracy, and therefore the importance of this institution cannot be overstated. Right Honorable Speaker, let me also take this opportunity to congratulate you and all members of the August House for successfully disseminating the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan to our people. This agreement and the related processes hold the key to the return of peace in this country, and I wholeheartedly appreciate your efforts in popularizing this agreement among our people. I want to particularly pay tribute to Honorable Simon Dengbol, who died on the line of duty while enlightening his constituency on the agreement. Similarly, I want to use this occasion to also pay tribute to Honorable Alfred Taban, a hero who fiercely fought the oppressive policies of various regimes in Khartoum using his journalistic skills during the days of our liberation struggle. He will be remembered as a brave freedom fighter whose voice became synonymous with the call for freedom. May I ask this House to stand up and observe 1 minute of silence as a tribute to Honorable Alfred Taban and Honorable Simon Dengbol. Thank you. Right Honorable Speaker and Honorable Members, our country stands at the crossroads, that is, to embrace and consolidate peace or to slide back to war. I stand for peace and stability, and I completely reject war. My government shall therefore spend all the resources at its disposal for the purposes of consolidating peace and stability in our country. This is not only our constitutional duty, but also it is our moral and religious duty to bring peace to our people. Speaking of moral and religious duty, you are all aware of our spiritual retreat in Rome. This is the first time ever in the history of any country for three most powerful men of God to come together to pray for peace and to plead with the leaders to bring peace to their suffering people. His Holiness Pope Francis of the Catholic Church, His Grace Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, the leader of the Anglican Communion, and the very Reverend John Chalmers, former moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church of Scotland, all converge in Rome for the spiritual retreat with the leaders of South Sudan. In the retreat, and I'm happy, His Grace Justin Rama has talked to you a while ago about what happened in that retreat. So I need not to explain it again. In the retreat, I was greatly touched and humbled by Pope Francis' action in kneeling down to kiss our feet. And to be honest to you, I was shocked and I trembled. But I also knew deep down in my heart that His Holiness did this to show the Christ's humility. He was telling us to be humble and to be good servants of our people. Pope Francis' act of humility is both a blessing and a curse on all of us. It is a blessing if we heed to his call for peace, and can be a curse if we play games with the lives of our people. More importantly, this spiritual retreat is one of the biggest diplomatic feats in our country's short history. It came at a time when our friends and Christian fellows had almost abandoned us and forgot about us. This happened because the international media and the people of bad faith launched a very negative campaign against our people and portraying the worst of us. We are a Christian majority nation. Although we cherish religious pluralism in our country, our liberation struggle succeeded because our Christian brothers and sisters around the globe, and even the Jews, stood with us when Islamic fundamentalists took power in Sudan and persecuted our people for their faith. In protest, our people embraced Christianity in their millions. We are faithful people. We love God and we love humanity. We are not killers and savages, as the international media would warn the world to believe. In our country, Christians and Muslims eat and pray together as a symbol of love. His Holiness Pope Francis, His Grace Justin Welby, and the very Reverend John Chalmers believed in us and believe that this nation holds. Their action to bless the leaders of South Sudan and bless its people is the truest expression of Christ's mission in the world, that is of peace. I cannot thank and appreciate the men of God enough for their care and concern for our people. God has heard their prayers, and the good days of South Sudan are ahead, and the prophecy of Prophet Isaiah is on course for realization. This country shall be a great nation because God's word never fails. I want to promise His this August House, therefore, that in me you have a partner for peace. Right Honorable Speaker, having shared my experiences in Rome, I want to talk specifically about the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan. Per the terms of this agreement, a new government and legislature were to be inaugurated on the 12th of May 2019. This is now delayed for another 6 months at the request of the SPLM in opposition. And I personally was for the formation of the government, but the suggestion of the leader of the opposition was then accepted internationally and in the region. But what are we going to do in 6 months that we failed to do in 8 months? At the time when we had the 8 months, it was a dry season. In our country, you can do things better in the dry season rather than in the rainy season, because we have no airports in the states or in the counties. We have no roads that you can use to move anywhere. But the opposition may have their own plan, and their friends know what they were going to do. But accepted the extension. Let us wait to see what will happen in after 6 months. I was seriously opposed
to the delay in the formation of the government because it sends wrong messages to our people that we are not serious and that we are not ready for peace. However, in the spirit of the agreement, we had to listen to our partners' concerns and so we accepted the extension. Nevertheless, to implement the provisions of the agreement expeditiously, we need to work together as peace partners to build trust, continue to make compromises, and push each other forward towards the successful implementation of the agreement. To ensure that we implement this agreement, I will, in consultation with our partners, review the NPTC, and if we can do anything to make it work better, I will. In the spirit of this agreement and our experience in Rome, I once more extend my invitation to Dr. Riek Machar to return home. I have completely forgiven him and all I ask from him is to become a peace partner, for he is no longer my opponent. We have agreed, and then we have to work together. The weight of responsibility on our soldiers is quite heavy in light of what the religious leaders and our own people expect of us. The world religious leaders expect us to bring peace to our people who so desperately need it, and in doing so, we also lift the burden off ourselves. As partners in peace, we can do our job better in rallying our people for peace at home. Physical distance between us is an obstacle to peace, and unnecessarily delays the implementation of the agreement. While I recognize Dr. Riek's fears and concerns, they all could not be addressed in his absence. Some of these require his physical presence with us here. Honorable Speaker, in summary, I am pleased to report to you that the peace agreement is on track and all the parties remain committed to its successful implementation. This government shall lead the way, and I therefore ask the August House to expedite the passing of the following legislations that enable successful implementation of the agreement. 1, withdrawal of the Constitution from the National Legislative Assembly back to the National Constitutional Amendment Committee for incorporation of 6 months extension of the pre-transition period of the revitalized agreement. 2, passing of all other enabling provisional orders that were issued when the Parliament was on recess. I am also pleased to report to the August House that the security situation in the country has greatly improved. We will continue to monitor the security situation in the country as we implement the agreement. In this spirit, I call upon all the armed oppositions to work in concert with the National Army to continue to open the corridors for the freedom of movement of our citizens and to open trade routes. Peace in our local communities can only be experienced when citizens can move and trade moves freely. It is therefore important to open all roads and rivers to facilitate trade and movement of the people and goods. Right, Honorable Speaker, Honorable Members, I cannot end this speech about the peace agreement without touching on the events unfolding in the Republic of Sudan. At the start, I want to congratulate the Sudanese people for their victory and to express our solidarity with them. The people and government of South Sudan fully support the aspirations of the Sudanese people for the peaceful, democratic, and secular nation. While ordinary people have succeeded in bringing to an end the 30 years of President Bashir's rule, the country is now at a critical juncture. We also recognize the important role being played by Sudanese Professionals Association, the Freedom and Change Forces, and the Transitional Military Council in keeping the country together and ensuring security and territorial integrity in Sudan. We urge all the parties to negotiate the transition in good faith and to widen the table to include the armed groups from Darfur, Kordofan, and Blue Nile. This transition should be seen as an opportunity to achieve a comprehensive peace and to engender a new political dispensation in the country. While we wish the people of Sudan well with their internal political exercise, it is important to remind regional and foreign actors not to interfere in the internal affairs of Sudan. The people of Sudan are more than capable in managing their own affairs. The Republic of South Sudan, being a sisterly country, offers to mediate among different actors to achieve a comprehensive peace in our sisterly country. The prospect of a democratic transition in Sudan is anticipated in South Sudan with hopes of peaceful relations between the two countries. Our two sisterly nations can prosper in collaboration and cooperation, and my government shall do its utmost best to ensure lasting peace between the two countries. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, convinced that peace is a prerequisite for development, you all must be aware by now of my visit to China late last year. My accompanying delegation and I had very productive engagements with President Xi Jinping and his government on matters concerning infrastructure development in our country. With peace in our sight, I see road construction as a critical measure needed in order to inspire development and economic growth in our country. Economic development is a function of the movement of people and goods and services, and these require good roads. Toward this end, the government has signed a contract with Shandong High Speed Company and other Chinese construction companies to build major highways connecting the three main regions of South Sudan with Juba. As it is reported, the government has approved a plan to fund the construction of these highways from our crude oil. The Ministry of Petroleum is instructed to deposit 30,000 barrels of crude oil daily into an account established for this purpose. It is against the funds accruing from these barrels of crude that road construction can be financed. These plans have been approved by the Council of Ministers, and I have created a China desk in my office so that I can directly supervise this important project. We are starting with the Juba-Rumbek Highway, and then we can start with the Nadafal-Tori-Juba-Bor Highway to Upper Nile. The third road is the Kayaye and Western Equatoria Turaja roads. These roads are the trunk roads that will spur economic growth and give birth to new industries in our country. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, I strongly believe with peace our country can easily exit economic fragility, as we can actually achieve food security within a couple of years, as the Ministry of Agriculture has outlined. Let us therefore go out of this house as peace messengers, and let us prove the world wrong of what they were saying about us, that we are not warmongers. We are peace-loving people, and we are a proud and dignified nation. I now declare this session of the August House open.